In order to stick as close to when we promised we'd be done, we're going to have Kendra and Daniel share. And then, Pastor Jin, if we keep maybe our group whole group questions just down to a couple, if people have like a couple of burning questions, because I think we want to go back into our small group one more time and then have a shorter wrap-up. And remember, we're going to be having crosstalks. Tomorrow is the first one, and then next week is not, because next week is our All Saints Day celebration, and then the following three Sundays, I believe it's in the bulletin anyway. So hopefully this has whetted your appetite, and I really feel that people just, things are talking about and asking. So before I go any further, I'm going to ask Kendra and Daniel to come up and share.
As you probably know, my name is Kendra. My name is Kendra Perez, but it used to be Kendra Allen. And I am really glad to be here. I have been at Church of All Nations since June 1st of 2007. At that time, I was 18 years old, and I will be turning 28 in like 9 days. Isn't that crazy? So it's been really interesting because basically I've spent my entire adult life in this congregation and have learned a lot about family systems and while my family goes here, which is sometimes a little uncomfortable, especially when you talk about dysfunction and then you're like, you don't want to nod too much during the sermon or something because you know your dad's sitting right over there. Anyways, so some of the things that I've been thinking about and I had some things I was thinking about this week and then some things that I've been thinking about since last night and this morning. When we went through the family systems terminology this morning, one of the things that kind of became clear to me is, in the past, I didn't think so much about my family having emotional triangulation within our family, we still have a decent amount of that. But one of the things that I have recognized is last night when Lucy and Angela were talking about how do you raise your kids in a culture that isn't your home culture, but then still like let them sort of be influenced by the culture. And I was like, I feel like I wasn't influenced. And I was like, why is that? And I realized that what my family did is we practiced emotional triangulation with everybody else that we knew. So the way that we drew closer to each other was by judging everyone else. Yep. I mean, I had a lot, so it's challenging because like, I'm due to give birth to our first child in January, and it's a little hard because what I'm trying to think about is, like, how do I create a strong family culture for ourselves where maybe I help our future child make decisions that aren't common in the culture around them without it being a regular conversation of how, well, this family does this, but we're not like that family, so we're not going to do that. Therefore, we're closer to each other and different from them. You know, and I think there's a little piece of that then, part of what I also internalized out of that is there's also, it felt like there was more space for compassion and imperfection for other people because they didn't know as good as we did about how to do things right. And I think, you know, it was interesting too going through this family projection process definition this morning of seeing how, like, talking about how children inherit many types of the problems as well as the strengths. And I volunteer with our church youth group, and we just had October celebrations of birthdays a couple weeks ago, and the youth were very sweet and encouraging, and one of them was telling me that I'm like a combination of all the best parts of my parents. They're like, you can cook like your mom, but you're like really social like your dad, and I was like, that's great. You all don't realize I got all the not great things too sometimes. And I think, but I think it's one of those things that's really nice about being a part of a community is that I also then get to see how our youth, some of your children, are imperfect combinations of you guys as well. And what was not recorded there was me nodding significantly at Pastor Jim. So I came to Church of All Nations when I was 18 years old, and I feel like one of the things that has really helped me in this journey of self-differentiation is being a part of a community that saw and sees my family fully for who we are. I had grown up in some different congregations where I felt like our family was so distinct from the rest of the church that, I don't know, people always just like kind of held us up on this pedestal a little bit, because it's like, oh yeah, the Allens, they're so welcoming and so kind and generous, and these things are true. We're pretty fantastic, but there's, I think, a piece of being here where I also got to see some of the normal pieces where I was like, oh, my family's like an immigrant family. Like, we're kind of normal. This isn't, some of these things that we look at are things that I see other kids dealing with because their parents are dealing with being immigrants to this country and the uncertainty and the things that we have no control over are actually really, was really comforting. Also, the aspect of feeling completely, like knowing that people knew both my parents really well and cared for them in a way where I didn't have to try and defend our good reputation in the process of figuring out who I'm becoming. And I think that's one of the things that is really sometimes been challenging has been, or well, what was also nice is that people saw through my like composure and over-functioning child self, which others previously had confused with emotional maturity. Like people thought I was really mature when I was growing up. I was like really articulate, but I was so anxious and such an emotional child. I feel like I was able to come here and I had people who were very intentional about not asking me to do things. I think Dana says she like intentionally didn't ask me for help with any event for about 2 years, because she knew I would say yes, and I, out of obligation and feeling like I needed to, you know, maintain now what was going to be my own reputation of being really helpful and really highly functional. And so I think since both me and my parents were fully loved and accepted, I don't have to pretend that I'm perfect, and I don't have to pretend that they're perfect. And then that, I think, really got me on that journey of greater differentiation. And I thought about it, too, in relation to Stephen sharing last night about, like, with some greater differentiation, the opportunity to then have greater love and greater intimacy with family. It was really, when I graduated from college, I moved out of my parents' house, and it was a good thing for all of us. But there was definitely like an aspect of it was like, it was still so much of this, from my perspective at least, where I was like, I gotta get out. And I think that it's been a real gift to start to see some of those things where, like Lucy was asking earlier, like, well, what are some of the good things? And to recognize that I don't know that I'm gonna actually parent that much better than my parents, but maybe there's like some benefit of the fact that we'll be here, because like I get to interact and see that I'm not necessarily personally involved. Like I don't have to worry about my personal reputation when my dad asks a question that seems much more personal than I think should be asked. Or when Daniel like holds out the high note for like 20 seconds. Like, I think that's something where it's like, I continue to figure out that journey of differentiation to say, how do I make space for other people to be themselves? And, you know, like, the space to be growing. And I think I am just really grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this community. I, like, mentioned already, I really love being a part of a youth group. I think there's a lot of, that I learn from it, of seeing how each of our children, like, there's no parents that are getting it perfect. But, like, that's part of the value of having a community around, and, like, why I feel so honored to, like, get to be another adult that cares about your children, because I think I've been able to see sometimes where, like, I feel like I can provide some guidance or at least just be another presence that's like, hey, you're gonna figure these things out, kid. And I think it also is such a good reminder, too. It, like, helps keep me in perspective, too, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just another slightly older kid figuring things out. And, you know, a few years back, it was while volunteering in the nursery, I'd see these three-year-olds, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, God doesn't expect, I don't expect a three-year-old to be able to understand that, like, what sitting down quietly for 45 minutes looks like. So I'm not going to try and force that on him in that or her. And in the same way, God's not trying to force things on me in advance of what I can do. And so, like, there's space for me to be figuring these things out as I go. So, I don't know. I'm really excited to become a parent with this guy, especially.
All right. You know, it's been interesting being here all day and having, I had the opportunity to kind of reflect on the questions on Tuesday night, and I know myself, and I know that if I prep something, it'll be shiny and sparkly and perfect, and, you know, will put me in a good light. And I think I really appreciate the Ranghams every time they testify, because they really, really challenge us and encourage us and invite us to really just be open and honest. And I think, you know, as an overfunctioner, that definition on the sheet, like, fit me to a T. Just because, you know, I do find myself being competent, reliable, blah, 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 blah. But I think my testimony will be mostly about, I'm about to be a dad. And I'm excited, but I'm afraid. And that's something that I had not given myself permission to say. Because if I lean into that, I'm afraid, I'm gonna start planning to avoid feeling afraid. You know, and I think I've been reflecting all day on, like, the kind of parents that I had and why I am the way that I am. And so, one of the questions on the sheet during the group talk was, which of your parents was the overfunctioning and which one was the underfunctioning? And one of the dynamics that I named was, like, I was put in the place of a parent at a very early age. And so I learned to not trust my own parents and become a parent to me, and in many ways a parent to my mom. Because I was her emotional support and her shoulder to cry on, and you know, she would dump all her baggage about my dad, and that would impact, and triangulation happened, and I was angry at my dad for things he hadn't done to me, and so I think for a while I hadn't realized this until Tuesday night, and I started to think that I walk into this world with the belief that I know better than everyone else. that I shouldn't trust Pastor Jin or the Ringhams or even my wife or the Allens or my parents because I've had to care for myself for so long. And add the complexity of like being undocumented and all these things, and where society told me no, 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 and so that fueled my like, I will show you, I will show you, I will show you, and I have. And it's a hard place to be in. And so I think, for me, I'm in this place where I'm like, you know, part of the reason why we didn't find the sex of our gender is I have. We can politicize it all we want, but personally, I didn't want to start planning. I didn't want to start to control. I didn't want to, like, do all those things because I think I'm gonna be asking you for a lot of help. Like, I know that I'm gonna mess up my kids. I already know that. There's no way around it. But I think having you as a family, then I can ask, hey, like, can you help me? Can you support me? Can you guide me? Because I think, like, hearing the testimonies from Angela and the Ringhams and other people here tonight, like, you know, I hear that piece of, like, you guys are so hard on yourself, and then I see your beautiful children being, like, these loving creatures, and it's like, I'm not there yet. I'm not a parent yet, but, like, It's in spite of all the challenges that parenting brings, like, I see how the children are turning out to be, like, loving and kind and supportive and resilient and, like, learning to lean into discomfort. And so I think for me that's really reassuring. And so I think I'm going to be leaning into that piece of, like, I am going to mess up my kids, but I know that I will have other people. They will have other parents. They'll have other uncles and aunts and friends. And it's not only up to me, because a lot of the times, I know that if I just think about me figuring it out with Kendra, like, we will pass that on to our kid. And I don't want that. So I think that's where I'm at right now, of like just confessing and saying, like, I had not given myself permission to say parenting is gonna be scary, and it's gonna be a hell of a ride. We're in church, sorry, but I'm excited too.
Just have a brief session, and maybe we can keep our comments brief so we can do a longer session in our small groups. Some comments or questions? Yep.
I just this feels like an appropriate time to just give you guys a word of encouragement. I love you both. I think you're going to be wonderful parents, and I think particularly with having Marion, I don't think there was anybody who championed more for us as going through that parenting journey as the both of you did, and Danielle especially. I think, you know, just the gift of leading the charge on cleaning our whole house for us. You have no idea how much that care coming out of this community led by you meant to us, and I just really hope that this church stands around you guys just so powerfully as you go through this journey, because you've been that gift to us and to, I think, a lot of other parents and young families as well. So thank you. You guys are going to do great.
Amen. Amen.
I would just like to acknowledge you, because there aren't enough parents who are afraid. And we really should be at that place of really looking at what we're doing and who we are, and not just having this happy, wonderful thing happening. And I just give you applause and prayers for your future and bless you with your lovely family. Amen.
I know a few things about having babies. one of the best things I can tell you is, on my first child, it was love at first sight. I fell in love. On the succeeding children, I had to fall in love more gradually. And sometimes people don't tell you that love isn't instantaneous for your child. And to give you permission to say that if you don't feel that overwhelming cocktail of emotions hit you right away, that that's okay, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to love your child or that it's not going to be real and authentic, but sometimes it's not instantaneous. You don't feel nurturing. You don't feel that bond right away, and sometimes you have to ease into that, and that's okay.
Yeah, good word. All right, I think we're ready to go into small groups.
Yeah, go back to our small groups for... Yes. So some of you have given me money already, and we had said if you cannot afford or if you can just make a small donation, whatever, it was $50 for a couple, $25 for per person. And so we welcome you to participate because we were paying some of our babysitters and paying for those wonderful meals that we had. We are going to go back into our small groups. How about for 20 more minutes? And then we'll get back here for a 10-minute wrap-up. So if you want to give me money today or tell me today and say, I owe you and give it to me tomorrow, I'm not going to hound you, but I welcome it. And so go to your small groups. Good. And I'll come around, make sure you all come back in 20 minutes. All right, we're done. It's been real. It's been really good. I just want to thank again the committee, which was Dana and Lori and Pastor Lucy and Renee and Pastor Jin and Soonbeck. It's just been beyond my wildest dreams of how good this is and the conversations that have started. And that was our goal from the beginning, that this is not something that just happens this weekend, but this is the start. This is just the start of conversations. And so we will continue, like I said, with the crosstalks and different things. So just thank you for all of you who have been engaged. And thank you to, again, Angela, the Ranghams, the Longs, and the Perezes for their testimonies. Let's give them all a hand. And Pastor Jim. So it's all of this is going to be recorded. So there's people who were wondering about it, and if you want to, you know, you missed something, you had to be out taking care of your child during one of the testimonies or something, or just want to hear some of those conversations again. That's why I've been so careful with the mic. So thank you all for coming. And Pastor Jin, if you just want to close in prayer.
Yeah, I'll make one announcement about the recording. We realized some sensitive things were shared, especially during the Q&A. So I've talked to Jinsu about for the presenters, if you're comfortable with it, letting it be on our main church website, which would be available to the whole world. But the Q&A portion, make it available only through our CAN community page, right? Because that's a closed group. There are about 150 people on that group. And then so the people there can access the whole thing, but for the world, just a, you know, formal prepared presentations. And one word of encouragement here about what we can do. I mean, the one question is, what do we do now? I mean, I'm really glad that we got stuff out there. Like, we got our fears. Fear is not even an adequate word. Terror about you know, who we are, what we've become through being raised in the society and what we're doing to our children. It really is terrifying. But then to share that together and to be okay that we all feel that way. But also how we can take not blame. None of us here are to blame for the struggles we go through, but responsibility for leading ourselves in a different way. And that's what leadership is, leading ourselves. And then if other people want to follow, that's fine. But there were a number of people who shared, both through formal presentations and even just in the regular large group discussion, about the emotional range that some of us grew up with. There are some cultures, it seems like, that allow for a narrower range of emotions than other cultures. And then there are some families that allow for a narrow range. And then there are some kind of professions. Like, you ever heard of a PK? Pastor's kids? How many of you are PKs? How many of you are MKs? Okay. Missionary kids. And typically, those children also have a narrower emotional range because they're not allowed to express their full childlike childishness because of the image of the family. So there's all kinds of factors that can lead to a narrowing of the emotional range. That only means less resilience. That means we have fewer emotional tools to deal with the complexities of life. So how do we, in this very diverse, emotionally rich and encouraging, and psychologically aware and sophisticated congregation, give space and encouragement for all of us as adults to expand our, somebody called it emotional repertoire, I think. I think Shane used that language. But how do we expand our emotional range so we have a much more varied and diverse and sophisticated, useful emotional toolbox? Whether it's about friendship or marital relations or raising children or re-relating to our family of origin. And that just means that the kind of honest sharing, especially from those who led us this weekend, are an example and encouragement to all of us to keep expanding our emotional range. If we do that, that means we're more resilient, and then that means that our children can be more resilient. So I think we've pretty much established that we're all messing up our children, God help us, and God is. But how do we also build resilience into our children so they are compensating for that at the same time and trust that, that God and God's Holy Spirit is working with our children and all the children of this church, including ourselves, in that direction? So I think that's the real promise of an emotionally intelligent congregation, that we are expanding our emotional range and building resilience along the way, rather than trying to avoid mistakes in the first place. So really, I'm so, so grateful and so proud to serve this congregation in this way. So thank you all for your wonderful service. The food was great. Tao's lunch was fantastic. Marie made dinner and breakfast today. We always eat so well. Chinzu especially and his wife Ingyeong have been working with the sound and lights, and Corey with the music, and just so many others. Thank you for everybody contributing childcare as well. So let's say a prayer together. Lord, thank you for in the very, very busy, even frantic lives that we are told must be lived to be a productive member of this society, that you've given us this time and this space, this group of people that we call our church, space to think and to reflect and to feel our deepest feelings, even our fears and terrors. We thank you for not judging us, but receiving all of that into your loving bosom and embracing us as your beloved children. Thank you for reminding us of your grace, how truly graceful and gracious you are in loving and receiving us just as we are, and always reminding us through your word, through your scriptures, that all we need to do is keep our feet planted on the ground and just be okay with being the dust that we are and the dust that we will one day return to. Help us, Lord, to remember our mortality and to raise our children in a high-risk, low-anxiety way. Thank you for reminding us this weekend more deeply than in other times that we are a village of your people and that we are covenanted to raise all our children together in this little village. We pray for the Holy Spirit's protection and guidance and leadership, because we cannot do this alone. And we desperately need the power of Jesus' Spirit in our midst. Thank you for binding us together as the body of Christ and offering ministry to one another powerfully just by sharing honestly who we are, sharing our joys and struggles, just honestly. So thank you for allowing us to taste the truth of your promise when you said that the truth will set us free. We feel that freedom opening up in our lives to be our authentic selves, to be differentiated, and to raise the next generation in a healthier way. Thank you all, Lord, for these many gifts, and help us to be your faithful Christian community together as a local body. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sisters and brothers, go in peace. For those of you who have the energy, there is Pioneer Fellowship tonight at Josette Bethany's house in Roseville, not too far from here.